by the help of God to
speak a little word on consecration. Now, a hymn that our Brother Hines gave us, there is a name I love to hear, I love to speak its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. We've been reminded this morning of the preciousness, the superiority, and the glory, and the affluence of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a danger that in our lives that we do not magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our body. So if you turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this verse tells us that we are tripartite. Spirit, soul, and body. And these things God wants all consecrated for Himself. We're living in a day when you've got to be a specialist in order to make a living. It's getting more that way every day. Now we know that's true in the medical field. But I see where the automobile companies are buying up these electronic firms for the purpose of making our automobiles more with electronic control. And the result will be that you'll have to have an expert for to fix different parts of your car. That's the way it is. But that is not so in the spiritual realm. God doesn't want a person to be all right in the spirit, and his soul not be right, and his body not be right. Now the scriptures tell us the highest part of man is his spirit. If you study the scriptures, you'll find that that's what the Lord teaches too. Remember when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. So that the spirit, we know, is the highest part of a man. And James tells us in his epistle that the body without the spirit is dead. No life at all. Every person that's not saved are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now you and I have been quickened by the Spirit of God. When God saved us, we were quickened. Ephesians chapter 2. And you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, that was a wonderful transformation that took place. What happened? That dead spirit that we were born with became alive. And we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. So that is the most wonderful thing. And I think we don't have appreciated enough what God has done for us in that regard. Now, the world at large, they use a different phraseology, and the child of God can use it too. And it's this. Instead of us saying soul, body, spirit, soul, and spirit, we say body, soul, spirit. We put the spirit last. I wonder if you ever wonder why we do this. Well, I'll tell you why I believe that we do it. It's because of the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. When sin entered into this world, man became a greedy individual. Well, what do you think about himself first? Now, I understand in Russia, they teach their children three basic needs: food, shelter, and clothes. And that is impressed upon them, a These are the three most basic things in life. Food, shelter, and clothes. Well, now there's a lot of truth to that. But we as the people of God, now that we're saved, we are not to think in those terms. It's a matter of committing ourselves to God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, he said that in Matthew chapter 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord's never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his feet begging bread. But don't misunderstand me. We have to work. If a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. But God in his providence, God in his kindness, takes care of it. And I don't see any of God's people that God has forsaken. I often think of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou so far from helping me? He was forsaken that we never will be forsaken. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, begging bread. Now, in the epistle to the Hebrews, we're told to present your body, therefore present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. Now I believe that what the Holy Spirit is bringing before us there, it's the spirit, it's the soul and the body. It's the complete you that we are to sacrifice holy unto the God. Now surely he is worthy of that when we consider what God has done for us. There's no more privileged people than you and I today. When we think of all that God has done for us. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter wireless rooms? While thousands make the wretched choice to rather starve than come. It was the same hand that spread the feet that gently pressed me in, for I perished in my sin. I often think of that picture we see in the billboard sometimes. And it's a picture of dear old Uncle Sam. He's pointing right at somebody. As far as the thought is, he's pointing at you. And he says, I want you. Now, that's all right as far as the America is concerned. But I think of that, too. It speaks to me to the fact that God, he wants me. He wants you. The only lips that God has on this earth, the only hands that he has, and the only feet to serve him, is yours and mine. God wants us to use them for his glory. Now, as we've been hearing this afternoon, we must, if we are going to live in the Spirit, which we are exhorted in Romans chapter 8, that wonderful chapter, I might say to you, those who are younger in Christ, whatever you do, make a study of Romans chapter 8. It's going to be read every day. Sometimes, when we meet one another, mostly we say, how are you today? I think if we'd ask one another, are you living in the Spirit? That's the point. If you're living in the Spirit, we'd have more power in our lives for God. Now, I think of this reminds me often about being revived in the Spirit. The Spirit of God, our Spirit being revived. I think of dear old Jacob. Jacob had Joseph for 70 years. He lost him for 70 years. And I'll tell you, it was hard for old Jacob to see God's hand when those wicked brothers brought that coat of many colors back to him, stained in blood. How would you have felt? Is this the God that I've come to know? Is this the way he treats me? It was hard for Jacob to see the hand of God in that. He read any more in many days. But it was a far different thing when these brothers or these sons of his came home and said, Joseph is yet alive. And Joseph sent the wagons up to bring his dear old dad down to Egypt. I'll tell you, it was easy to see the hand of God in that. We read that his spirit was revived. Now this is what we need. We need to realize that we are indwelt, our spirit has been changed, and we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and we ought to live in the Spirit. And if you do, as our brother, God has been bringing before us, you'll be a better worshiper. I don't believe a person can live in the Spirit and not be a worshiper. Because they just go together. That's all there is. When I think of, you know, the charismatic people, they talk about getting the second blessing. Well, I want to tell you, I don't need any second blessing. Right in this very chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, there's 22 commands for the believer. You know what one of them is? Rejoice evermore. You need the second blessing for that, brother? You certainly do not. Thank God, brothers and sisters, we can rejoice evermore because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now that's communion. I want to tell you, there's nothing sweeter on earth for a child of God than have communion with the Creator. How I thank God every day that I've got one I can talk to. It's not like the telephone line. Sometimes you call up your friend, the line says you can't talk to him. But we can always talk to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother says, he talks, and I talk too. God knows, and I don't care who hears me. When I get talking, and get talking to the Lord, it's a wonderful experience, and we ought to know something about that. Know communion, union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if you want your prayers answered, if you want to be an intercessor for God, and this is something that's needed today, we want people who are abiding in Christ and living in the Spirit. This is a very needed thing today, is to have people who are intercessors with God. I've had a lot of sickness in my life. I want to tell you something. There's nothing I appreciate more than when some brother comes to visit me. He's got a grip of God, he's an intercessor. And he can bury up into the presence of God. I'll tell you, it goes better than medicine. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is still on the throne and he cares for his own. Now the next thing that we want to talk about here is the body, or the soul, I should say, pardon me. And the soul is that part of the body which gives emotions, which gives us our desires, gives us our affections and our inclinations. Now, before God saved us, we had wrong desires. Oh, tell you those desires we had. This is what it says in Ephesians 2. Among whom also, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were children of wrath, even as others. What a mess we were in, brother and sister. What a mess. Think of this. We all had a conversation and things of the past and the lust of the flesh fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind that were children of wrath even as others. And the Lord Jesus said, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. But those things which were proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. We had defiled desires, desired affections, and you know that. All you need to do is pick up the newspaper, look at advertisements, and you'll see how defiled this old world is tonight or today. And the child of God was that way. That's what you were before the grace of God saved you. You're only what you are tonight by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be no different. Maybe you'd be in hell. But the child of God is a different thing. And let us see now what it says. God says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, this is Romans 8:1, but after the Spirit. They that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, working with our spirit, causes me to set the affections of my soul on things above and not on things of this earth. And does not allow me to be deep-rooted in the things of this world. And brethren and sisters, what a wonderful thing it is when our affections have been altered by the grace of God. It says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionated one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, that can only be done by the grace of God. You cannot look at your brethren and sisters, bear no malice, and be tenderly affectionated to them if it wasn't for the grace of God. You just couldn't do it. You couldn't forgive one another. But this is something that you can do because you are saved by the grace of God. Now, I think of a sister. I want to speak to sisters. You think we're just talking to brethren, you're wrong. Because in Romans 16, you'll find the sister there mentioned by the name of Phoebe. And you know that dear sister was a sucker of many. Even the Apostle Paul received of her kindness and her sympathy and her love. She was impartial. She didn't have favor. My, what an asset she was to the assembly. You see, she had a complete change in her soul. And if you want another illustration, you'll find it with the household of Stephanas in 1 Corinthians 16. And this whole household, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You see, they were like their master. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Now let me ask you, brother and sister, what is your ministry? You want somebody to be ministering to you? You know, I hear some Christians complaining all the time that there's no love in the assembly, that nobody cares for them. And you know, they themselves never minister to others. If they would only be friendly, they would have friends. That's what the scripture says. But to be kindly affectionated will lead others to be drawn to you. Now, when I think of the household of Stephanas, I think of what an asset that family was to be. A family like that, what an asset would be to any assembly. Thank God for an assembly that has a household like the household of Stephanas. Now, we have to go into it. Now, the last one we have is the body. Now, our bodies are the place where our tent. We know that if our earthly house is the tent of this tabernacle is involved, we have a building in the heavens, eternal in the heavens. A building that cannot be destroyed. And I was noticing three things this afternoon. I marked down when one of our brethren was speaking that the body is a tent, and it's also a temple, and it has, of course, it's a living, something that's alive, of God. Now, these bodies of ours, they give us more trouble than anybody else. You'll find that your body is the thing that will give you more trouble than any other part of it. Paul knew that. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was carrying around with him a dead weight all the time. And brothers and sisters, that's what we are. We're doing the same thing. We're carrying the dead weight around with us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll just read it to you, and I go on to quote it. 1 Corinthians 9, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become, or should be a castaway. I heard a brother Maxwell say one time, and I suppose he looked this up, being the scholar that he is. He says, here what Paul done was give himself a good upper. Now we aren't supposed to go around giving himself a good upper. But I was thinking a better way of doing that. Paul was speaking concerning himself here, that he kept his body under in subjection, lest by any means he should become, or preach to others, and should become a castaway. Romans chapter 6, and verse 11. Reckon yourselves to be dead. Now, I remember a brother one time telling me, this brother, he's out in the Lord's work now, but he was, during the Second World War, he was making flying trips. He was a pilot going over into Germany. And he had a navigator there. And on the way home, he would say to the navigator, he'd say, give me a path home. And the navigator, I suppose if we were doing that, we would appreciate the navigator's work. But I know a brother Goff was thinking, his brother, if you were down to London and through the first place, he thought, he didn't have any good navigator. But anyhow, the navigator would mark out a course for how to get back to England. And then this lad, this friend of mine, would say to him, I think you're wrong. I think we should be over this way a little more that way. And the navigator would say, I don't care what you think. I have given you a dead reckoning. And if you don't go by that, you'll never get home. Now this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. Now, you know what it is. If you keep track of your expenses at home, and you make a list there, and you say, I spent so much money in food, and I spent so much money in car expense, so much money for rent and so forth, and you tally it all up at the end of the month, and you reckon that figure to be true. You've got it all down there. Well, now this is exactly what Romans 6 tells us. It's a dead reckoning. Reckon it to be so. Now it's hard to, for anybody to say, I'm dead, you're still living. Isn't it? Sure is. But you're going to reckon yourself dead, but alive unto God. Now that's what we call dead reckoning. And if we're going to get the grip of this thing, that's what it means, a dead reckoning. And if God's going to have these bodies of ours, as Romans 12 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And brethren, after all we've listened today, if that's not our reasonable service, to render unto our Lord Jesus Christ, after all that he has done for us, what he is doing and what he will yet do, then there's something wrong with our adoration of Christ. I want you to turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Or, see a little there about something that I know puzzles at times. Luke's Gospel 14 and verse 33. Well, perhaps for the connection, we read in verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it all, and all that behold, it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war, against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now this verse puzzled me quite a bit. When I was young, I couldn't honestly say that I had given God everything. Whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Do I have to be a David Livingstone? I don't know if any of you brethren have read of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd served the Lord in Africa, but before he did that, his father, when he got his father was a wealthy man and left him thousands of pounds. And the first thing that C.T. Studd did when he got that money, he sat down and he disposed of every cent that he got. Some of the money went to George Mueller. Some of the money went to Moody's. That's how I understand the Moody Bible Institute was started. Some of it went to the China Inland Mission. It wasn't started then, but that was the money that started it. And after all the money was gone, away he goes to Africa. How's that what it means? Well, I'll try and explain it as I see this narrative in the Word of God. We all want to do battle. We all want to build for God. And I suppose, brethren, this is the reason a lot of our brethren and sisters are in the foreign field today is because that they wanted to build and they wanted to do battle for God. And every one of us should. Now, here's what it seems to me God is saying to us. Well, now you want to build. What have you got for to build for me? Well, Lord, you know I'm saved, and I'm able to pray. I know something of the Word of God. I'm not out with my brethren. I'm kindly affectionated to others. All right, is that it all? Yes, that's about it all, Lord. Well, put that on a plaque. Very good. Now, what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? What qualifications have you got for that? Well, Lord, I'm not afraid to go up the street corner, and I don't care if I get spit on. I'll still give out tracts, and I'll still be true to you. I've still got God's people as friends with me, and they know my faith, and I am able to be true under all circumstances. Is that all? Yes, Lord, that's it. Put that on the plaque. Now, here's what the Lord Jesus said. Notice two words here. So likewise, whatsoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. God doesn't want all your goodies, all your abilities. What the Lord is saying here, it's not what you've got, it's what I've got. And you have got the God of creation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the Trinity with you. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And fancy, it pleases God that the part of the deity is in the likes of you and me this afternoon. Now Moses had to learn this. Remember Moses. Who, Lord, will I say sent? He was afraid to go to Pharaoh. And then he was afraid of what the people of Israel would say to him. And this is what he got from God. Say that I am, have sent you. Now in that name, I am, it entails all that God is. The creator, the sustainer, the upholder, everything that you can think about in God is all in that name, I am. And Moses, it's irreverent what you are, but it's what I am. Oh, brothers and sisters, you get a grip of that? Is it any wonder that this great leader, the world's greatest leader, you see, he got this power from God. And so it is with us. Here we are. It's not, brother, what we've got, but you've got God with you. Now you need to live in the Spirit, and you need to have your affections right. Is thine affections right? Cleansed and made holy, humbled and lowly, is thine affections right? And so it is, brother and sister. If we're right, Spirit, right in soul, and holy and pure in body, we'll do wonders.